Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this day. What a glorious day. Lord, we pray that today your blessing will enrich every life in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that according to your mercy and compassion, according to your love by your grace, you open the windows of heaven and you pour your blessings upon everyone in Jesus' name. That this very day and this very week and this very year, there will be showers of blessing. Every day of this year, every week of this year, every moment in our lives, Lord, we'll be expecting great, great things from you. And we know you're going to do it in Jesus' name. We pray that this year will be a year of happiness, a year of joy, a year of holiness, a year of health, a year of prosperity, a year of breakthrough, a year of breaking forth in Jesus' name. We pray that, Lord, everything we lost in the past, we are going to get this year. And all the limitations of the past, you are going to remove every limitation from our lives and every loss, every lack in Jesus' name. Great will be our miracles. Great will be our blessing. And great will be the things to pour upon our lives this year in Jesus' name. Be glorified and magnified in every life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, thank you very much. We can see now. Praise the Lord. Today we're looking at Hebrews chapter 11 verse 39 and verse 40. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I want you to look at that word, better. This year is going to be better than any other year in your life. That when you look at the end of this year, as if Jesus tarries, and then you look at what the Lord has done from January to December in your family, in your life, in your business, in the church, in your own soul, in your own spirit, all around you, there's only one word you'll be able to use at the end of the year. That's the word better. God having provided some better thing for us, that without us, they should not be made perfect. In fact, as you look at the epistle to the Hebrews, you'll find that word better and better and better coming up every time. We're looking at chapter 8, verse 6. Chapter 8 of Hebrews, verse 6. But now as he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also is the mediator of a better covenant, that's the word again, better covenant, which was established upon better promises. It's saying that yes, we had promises in the past, and we had provisions in the past, and we had all these things that God gave us in the past, but this year everything is going to be better. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 10 verse 34. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 34. For ye had compassion on me in my bones, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that she have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. It says that here on earth, better promises. And then when we eventually get to heaven, a better substance. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 11 verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly, whereof, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Again, you find that word there, and it's talking of better. Everything about us this year, everything about the provision of the Lord is saying, is going to be better than it ever was in our lives in Jesus' name. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, we're reading from verse 9. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the city shall be inhabited, and the ways shall be builded. And I will multiply upon you men, man and beast, and they shall increase and bring forth and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than all than at your beginnings. That is, since you became born again, you repented of your sin, you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you came to the Lord as your Lord and Savior, and your life turned around, and your life was transformed, and your life was changed. And you can tell a lot of testimonies. Since you became born again, the Lord has done this and this and this for me. At the beginning of my Christian life, the Lord is saying, whatever you've got in the past, you are going to get more. Whatever you have experienced in the past, you are going to experience more. And no matter how great and glorious the blessings of the Lord have been upon your life in the past years, he says, I will do better unto you than at your beginnings, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 23. In verse 23, I'm reading there, and it says, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. The Lord is saying that when people look at your life this year, they look at the blessings you have, they will glorify the name of the Lord. They will exalt the name of the Lord. They will sanctify the name of the Lord. In verse 24, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries, which I will bring you into your own land. You'll come to your own land. You will live in your own house. All this, the landlord coming and saying, where is the rent? Where is the rent? I'm telling you, for thousands of us this year, you get your own land. You get your own house. And then it will even be big enough, you rent it out to other people. And instead of people putting pressure on you, where is my rent? You'll be telling them, hey, come on here, where is my rent? It's going to happen. It's beginning to happen already. Verse 25, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. This year, you'll be clean. In your soul, in your spirit, in your life, in your business, you'll be clean in Jesus' name. Every impurity, every iniquity, every idolatry, and everything that soils people, that defiles people, that makes people dirty, dirty in their conscience, dirty in their soul, dirty in their mind, all that the Lord will cleanse away. For I will cleanse, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you, and a new heart will I give unto you, and a new spirit will I put within you. We're going to have new hearts. Our children will have new hearts. Our teenagers will have new hearts. And our parents will not have heart attack over their children in Jesus' name. Running after them this way, they escape to that way, and we say, these children are supposed to be a blessing, but these children are giving me heart attack. Not this year. No hypertension this year. No heart attack this year. Because our youths, our children, our wives, our husbands, a new heart in Jesus' name. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away. Everybody say, take away. When God takes it away, it will no more be there. In our sisters, God will take this away. In our brothers, God will take this away. Among our workers, God will take this away. God says, I will. God says, I will. He says, I will. He will do it. It says, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. This year will be a congregation of doers, not a congregation of just hearers, hearing the word only. will do the will of God. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. And I will call for the corn, I will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. No famine this year. I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Verse 33, thus says the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and the desolate and the ruined cities have become fenced and inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, built the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. All the promises the Lord has given us this year of a better life, better family, better business, better progress, better flock, better church, better relationship, better blessing, better promises, everything, the Lord said, I have spoken it and will do it. In verse 37, thus says the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. And I will increase them with men like a flock. The Lord is saying, he wants us to even still pray, even though he had promised us, even though he has said, this is what I will give, and this is what I will do. He says, and yet for all this, my people are going to ask me. And it is in that asking him and praying, the Lord is going to do everything for us. That means then, as we're expecting that this year will be a year of prosperity, then it will be a year of prayer. And every time as we're asking, the Lord will answer and give it unto us in Jesus' name. The topic I'm speaking about, God's promise of better things for all believers. God's promise of better things for all believers. Everyone here, there's no exception. This year is going to become better than any other year in our lives. 3 points we're considering. Number one, the gracious provision of better things. The gracious provision of better things. The gracious provision of better things. Those better things will come. And you find that by the grace of God, he has provided them. It's given by grace. It's not something you struggle for, something you fight for, something you run after. These blessings of better things will run after you this year. The gracious provision of better things. Number two, the great power of bridled tongues. The great power of bridled tongues. How those things are going to come your way. Of the better blessings and the better riches and the better miracles and the higher things are going to come in your life is through your tongue. And you bridle that tongue when it comes the time to withdraw the blessing, to bring the blessing upon your life. Then you open that mouth and blessings will fill your mouth. The great power of bridle tongues. Number three, the guarded promises, protected promises, guarded promises of blessed treasures. The guarded promises of blessed treasures. Number one. What's number one? The gracious provision of better things. All this for you. I said all this for you. In Isaiah chapter 56, verses 4 and 5. Isaiah chapter 56, verses 4 and 5. For thus says the Lord, unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath. He's talking to people that honor the Lord enough, respect the Lord enough, reverence the Lord enough, exalt the Lord enough in their lives, that they keep his word and they keep the Sabbaths, they keep the Lord's day holy, and they reverence the Lord, they honor the Lord, they worship the Lord on the Lord's day, and they make it a principle. Today is the day of the Lord. From the very time I wake up until the night, I'm just going to have all my heart, all my might centered on the Lord. The people that worship the Lord on his day, thus says the Lord, unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me. The people that will not choose the things that please their flesh, please their families, please their neighbors, please their friends, or even please their enemies, or please anybody in their lives, but the number one person to please is the Almighty God. And they are asking themselves all the time, what I do, what I say, how I live, how I comport myself, does this please the Lord? They're not pleasing their carnal minds, because the carnal mind is taken away. The stony heart is taken away. All they want to do, they say, Lord, my commitment to you this year, my consecration to you this year, and my sacrifice this year will be to please you all the time. And he says, they choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. It says the two things that precede taking hold of the covenant blessing. It is number one, you want to honor the Lord on his day, on the day of the Lord, every Sunday. You want to make sure that all your heart, all your mind is given to the worship of the Lord and not to pleasure. And not to all these extramural studies and all these various things, but you say, today is the day of the Lord, and the only one I recognize today, respect today, reverence today, worship today is the Lord. And then you choose the things that please him every time, above what will please your flesh. It says, you then take hold of my covenant. Now look at verse 5. It says, even unto them, unto only those people that honor him, that love him, that worship him, the people that choose the things that please the Lord, and the people that take hold of his covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. Praise the Lord. But look at the condition in verse 4. And you make sure that all the time you are conscious of that condition. And you're saying, this year is going to be a year of pleasing the Lord, following the Lord, walking after the Lord, and doing the things that please the Lord. And then he says he's going to give you a name that is better than the names of the sons and of the daughters. And I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. It will happen. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. I'm reading from verse 6 again. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. In Hebrews chapter 8 verse 6, but now has he obtained a more excellent ministry. That's talking about Christ. And he had that ministry for you and for me, for us, for the church, not for himself. He has obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. The covenant we have is better than that of old. Better than the old covenant. And it says, which was established upon better promises. The promises we have, they're greater, they're higher, they're bigger, they're more extensive than the promises of the old covenant. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, for finding fault with them, it says, behold, the days come, and the days have now come. Why do we know the days have now come? Because Christ has died already on the cross of Calvary. He has shed his blood already on the cross of Calvary. He has proclaimed and he has said, it is finished. That's how we know the days have now come. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Look at verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. The laws of God, the commandments of God, the will of God, the demand of God upon us. It will not just be only on Sunday when you come to church. It will be in your mind all the days of your life. And when you want to go this way or go that way, or want to do this or want to do that, the law of God will be coming off from your heart as if you're winding it, and you say, no, you can't go that way, you can't do that, you can't stay like that, because this is the word of the Lord. This is the will of the Lord. It's reaching in your mind. It's put in your heart. And it says, I will put it in their mind. And then it says, and write them in their heart. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. It will happen. In chapter 10, I'm reading from verse 34. Chapter 10, verse 34. For ye had compassion on me in my bones, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. You took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. The attitude of people in the old year, the old nature of the old year of the old time, any little sin that they lost, they cried, and it's like they're not going to stop crying. You know, I lost a biro. I lost a bunch of keys. I lost this. I lost that. I lost a bicycle. Think about that. But this year, there's no crying. Yeah. If you lose a bicycle, it means a motorcycle is coming on the way. Yeah. If you lose a motorcycle, it means a car is coming on the way. Yeah. If you lose a car, again, who knows? Free ticket for aeroplane is coming for you. That means you are saying, whatever happens this year, the word is better. Whatever happens, the word is what? It's better. And the children, if they say in particular school, the door is closed, you can't come in, you smile and say, praise the Lord, a better school is coming on my way. And if you lose a little certificate, it means, praise the Lord, that God said, you are better than that. Drop that one. A better certificate is coming in Jesus' name. That's the reason why the believers over here, when they lost all those goods, they said, no problem, something better is coming. I said, something better is coming. Look at that again. He had compassion on me in my bones, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. It says, the reason why you could rejoice is because you know there's something greater than what you have lost. Can I tell you that as you look at your life, since you were very young and you have been saying, I wish I had this, I wish I had this, I wish I had this, there's no wishing anymore, those things have come. Yeah. Verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, perseverance, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. I need to dwell on that verse for you. Well, the primary interpretation of that, the immediate interpretation of that, is talking about Christ. We know that Christ is coming again. Have you heard that before? Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. That is the primary interpretation. Now, the secondary interpretation. Are you ready? Yes. Your child that ran away from home, and you are wondering, when will this child come? Yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Yes. Welcome that child, prepare for that child that ran away, that child is coming back. Yes. That daughter that said, mommy, leave me alone, I'm going to marry who I will. My daughter, don't do like this, you are breaking my heart. And the daughter ran away, and since she got married now, there's no information. Don't worry. And in just a little while, and she that will come and will not tarry. Your husband, that man just said, I'm fed up. This is enough. I'm leaving. Honey, don't do like this. My darling, don't leave me alone. Just pray, pray, pray. And every time, what did Jesus say? How will Jesus do it? I'm fed up. No drinking, no smoking. I'm going. And he's gone. That man is coming back. Because just a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Look at your wife. Your wife, you know, just ran away somewhere and said, I will punish you. I know that you cannot marry another person because once I'm gone, it's you that will suffer. Looking for heaven, me, I will go anywhere when I die. And then you say, Pastor, pray for me. Look at my condition. Look at my age. And this woman is gone away. This year, don't worry. What did I say? I said, don't worry because yet a little while, and she that will come, and will not tarry. The business partner that took, you know, all your capital away, and then you say, look at me, I put all my savings, everything into this, they'll bring that capital back. Because he that shall come, and will not tarry in Jesus' name. I know, you know, there's a heart that is broken there. It was, you know, this combat of yours. You loved him. You loved her very much. And eventually just broke away and went to a place where they're not preaching the gospel. And you have been wondering that you have prayed, you have fasted. And the man is just out there in the wilderness of a church. And then you are saying, when will this happen? And the Lord is saying, those backsliders, they are coming back this year. Because yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry in Jesus' name. Amen. Preaching is like this. Preaching with laughter, preaching with joy. It's not preaching with frowning, and preaching with stand up and get up. This, because this year, everything is going to become better. Yeah. Preaching will be better. Yeah. Praying will be better. Yeah. Promises will be better. Yeah. When you finish Sunday, you go back to my committee, better. Yeah. When you go for work on Monday, everything, yeah, better. This year is a year of joy. Yeah. And now in verse 38, now the joy shall lay my faith. And if any man draw back, I will not draw back. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. I believe, and it is going to happen in Jesus' name. Because the Lord has promised great things, and those great things will come upon our lives, upon your life in Jesus' name. If you never saw a miracle in your life this year, you will see miracles. But God just pause everything up and say, Lord, that is enough. I've got the better thing now. And then, who knows, one Sunday, I might even allow you to give testimony on Sunday. In John chapter 14, I'm reading from verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, where are those people? Praise the Lord. God will not disappoint your faith. He that believeth on me, the works I do, he shall do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. The greater things will come upon your life in Jesus' name. Point number two. The great power of bridal tongues. This is very important as we're expecting the better things to come, the better things to experience, and the better things to have. If you don't have any good thing to say, just shut up. Don't say anything about yourself. When something happens at home, when something happens to a child, when something happens to your wife, when something happens to your husband, if you don't have any good thing to say, just shut up. Don't say anything. Don't say, you know, bad things are threatened again. Bad things will never start your life again. Don't say, isn't it better for us to go back into Egypt? You'll not go back into Egypt. Don't ever say, the Assyrians have come again and they're going to destroy us. Nobody will destroy you. And don't say, I've lost it again. You will never lose it again. If you cannot say something good about yourself, about your wife, about your husband, about your child, about your coordinator, about your group coordinator, and about your pastor, of course, about the church, then just close your mouth and bridle that tongue, because this tongue this year is going to be a tongue of blessing. Amen. The great power of bridled tongues. Look at Joshua chapter 6. I'm reading from verse 1. In Joshua chapter 6, reading from verse 1. Now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel, and none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpet. In verse 5, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. This year, Jericho walls will fall. But you know the secret of Jericho wall falling? They will just go around one day at a time, only once, and not say anything, and then on the 7th day, they go 7 times. And only at the right time, when the miracle is to take place, that's the time they shout. Look at verse 10. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout. That's one. Ye shall not shout. All these days, bridle your tongue. Hold your tongue. Don't say anything. If that is your weakness, that you always talk. Anytime you are happy, you just talk your sadness. Anytime you are sorrowful, you just talk your sorrow. Anytime you are disappointed, you just give out your disappointment. Every time there is any challenge, you just talk. This year, we're not going to talk carelessly. I said we're not going to talk carelessly. It says, ye shall not shout, that's number one. Nor make any noise with your voice, that's number two. He said, this is a secret of Jericho walls falling down. This is the secret of the great miracle that you have never seen. Better things happening, greater things happening, higher things happening. Number two, you will not make any noise with your voice. Number three, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth. You know the children of Israel? You know why many of them missed the land of Canaan? Because of their mouth, because of their tongue. They were discouraged, and then they began to speak against God and against Moses, and serpents came and destroyed many of them. There was no water to drink, and then they began to talk, what are we going to drink? Is it not good to go back to Egypt? And many of them perished. There was no food to eat, and then they said, even this manna, we're fed up with this, always murmuring, always complaining. And Joshua knew that the secret of getting the miracle and getting the better thing is that there must be a watch upon their mouth. And the Lord told him, he said, Joshua, you know, you and Caleb, when the 10 spies came back and he said, the giants are there, you know their difficulty. And then they began to say, let's choose a captain, we're going back, we cannot move forward anymore. Every time they're always saying the wrong thing, Joshua go and tell them that, number one, you will not shout if you're going to get the miracle. Number two, you will not make any noise at all with your voice. Number three, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth. Until the day that I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. That was the instruction. And it was that bridled tongue that made the Jericho walls to fall. Look at verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, those walls will fall. Yeah. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. You will take your possession. Yeah. Nothing will hinder you this year except your tongue. That you make sure that any word of slander, any word of insult, any word of abuse, any word of deception, any word of evil, any word of iniquity, any word of criticism, any word of envy, any word of jealousy, all that you cut off, because this is a year of blessing. 2 Kings chapter 18, in verse 28, then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and of honey, that ye may live and not die. And hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Here was an enemy. He said, his representative, and he was telling these people of Judah, don't listen to your leader. Whatever he's saying, he just deceiving you. A better year, don't listen to him. A greater year, don't listen to him. This, and don't listen to him. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He was bragging. But look at it. And as any of the gods in verse 33 of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria, where are the gods of Hamath or of Apart? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim and Hena and Ivan? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Then who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? Look at verse 36. And the people did what? They held their peace and answered him not a word. Quietness. Silence. Not responding, not replying the enemy. The secret of the better things, of the greater miracles the Lord wants to perform, is that you keep your mouth, you bridle your tongue, and you do not allow them to get you into conversation that will lead into unbelief, conversation that will lead into fear, conversation that will lead into argument. They just held their peace. It says in that verse 36, the people held their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. What's the result? Let's look at the result in chapter 19, the very next chapter. Chapter 19, verse 32. Chapter 19, verse 32. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way he came, by that same way shall he return. I shall not come into this city, says the Lord, for I will defend this city. The Lord will defend our city. He will defend our church to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Look at verse 35. And it came to pass that night, when he had bragged during the day, when he had exalted himself during the day, and the people of God answered nothing. The people of God bridled their tongues. They kept quiet, which is what the Lord is telling us to do this year. That all the careless talking of last year, all the slandering of last year, all the abuse of last year, all the deception with our tongue last year, and all those white lies of last year, all those things, everything will vanish away this year, that we just bridle your tongue. It says in that verse 35, it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians and 185,000 of their soldiers, everyone perished that night. And when they rose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses, because the people listened to their king, to their leader, when he said, speak not a word, don't answer him. We're not going to answer any of those persecutors this year. Any of those liars this year, any of those people bragging and saying, I'll deal with you, I'll do this, I'll do this. And then they frown, they say, are you not talking? Are you not listening to me? I will do this, I will do this to you. We just, you know, we smile it away. We say nothing. Because we know God is on our side. He'll fight our battles for us in Jesus' name. And then they're going to be surprised that after all they're bragging and we say nothing, because we know God is defending us. It is they that will perish and we will keep and remain alive in Jesus' name. In verse 30, it says, so Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adramelech and Sherezer, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Where are the enemies? I say, where are the enemies? They are all gone. But know the secret. The secret is keep your tongue. Keep your tongue. Keep your mouth. Bridle your tongue. If you're going to see good things, make sure that you are more quiet this year than you were years before. That you just change your way of conversation. All those words coming out and pouring out every time, except you are preaching, except you are counseling, except you are praying, except you are praising the Lord, except you are counseling, advising somebody, except you are giving admonition. All the other times when an enemy is talking, when an enemy is bragging, just keep quiet. The Lord will fight for you. In Psalm 34, I'm reading from verse 12. Psalm 34, verse 12. What man is he that desires life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips that they speak no guile. It says, if you want the good life, the abundant life, the miracles and the signs and the wonders and the better life and the better blessings and the better provision, it says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips speaking out. Depart from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. Look up, brothers and sisters. You know, there are people that they pray a lot. But you know, outside, before they come into their sanctuary, they gossip and they backbite, they get angry, they beat now other, they cut down other people, they do a lot of things with their mouth. And then they ring their bell, they use bells in some of those places. Come on, it's a time prayer meeting is starting now. And after all the gossiping, then they rush in and then they say, praise the Lord. Then they're shaking their head and shaking their body and doing this and doing that. And they just pray for nothing, in vain. They didn't keep their tongue. We will not be like that. That before you come to church and before you go for house fellowship, before you go anywhere, you know that your tongue is under control. Your tongue is under check. That's why it says, where is he that wants to see good days and loves good days? Keep your tongue from speaking evil, from speaking God. There are some people that play with lying. I think they just take it like a game. They don't understand. That's why their prayers are never answered. They'll come, they go to our coordinator, they'll tell a story and tell a story and tell a story. And the coordinator will think they are sincere, will think that this somebody that came for counseling will begin to open the Bible and say, according to this chapter, according to this verse. After the coordinator has, then they tell another, and all is lying. They just want to waste the time of the coordinator. And then after that, the coordinator again will open scriptures and advise them, and it's all lie. And then after that, say, coordinator, will you not pray? Of course I will pray for you. And the coordinator will pray beautiful, beautiful prayer, and then release them. And then they go empty-handed. Although the coordinator did not know that everything they were saying, they were just pulling his leg, they were just testing his knowledge, they were just telling a lie, telling all those stories, all those lies. And then after that, they look at their lives are empty. They have not bridled their tongues. They have not kept their tongue. Oh, whatever prayer we pray for you, when you've just told us a lie, When you just came to deceive us, when you just came to tell stories that are not true, God knows your heart. Whatever prayer we pray will not be answered. It will all be a waste of time. I pray that this year our lives will change. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And be very careful the kind of stories you tell. Be very careful the kind of stories you tell. Look up for a moment while I'm talking about these stories people tell. There was a great man of God. And this great man of God, he was a use of God in the word of knowledge. And then he'll say, you have a problem there, you have a problem there, and then the problems will be solved. And these people, they said, look at this man, we're going to test him. And he came and they said, man of God, we have problem. I'm telling you, real story, true story. I never tell you any lie. They said, we have this and that. And the man of God looked at them and said, no. In fact, they said they had cancer. The man of God said, no, you don't have cancer. No, but we went to the doctor. And as we went to the doctor, he tested us and we have cancer. Oh, the man of God said, okay, since you say you have cancer, you didn't really have cancer before you came. But since you say you have, now you have. And those people had cancer later. Be very careful. That you don't. What are you going to gain by just coming to tell a story? Somebody comes and he says, "I have ulcer," and he didn't have ulcer, and he just telling a story. Pastor, pray for me. I was like this, and he just telling a story, and I have ulcer, and he didn't have ulcer. Be very careful. Sometimes they come and they say, Pastor, I've been going through this a lot. I've been going through this. I prayed for a wife and then this. And it's only a story. It is not true. And God is watching. This year will not be a year like that. A year when we don't understand the presence of God. We don't understand the promises of God. And we don't understand those children of Israel. They said, we're going to die in the wilderness. They died in the wilderness. It was their mouth. It was their mouth. You want to bridle your tongue this year so that the blessings of God will flow in our life. You don't want to play with poison or play with lying. Don't you know it says all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And God is no respecter of persons. Don't come and tell any story. I don't mind. If you want to tell me any story, I'm there all the time. I've had all the stories I could hear all my life. Any story you tell me, I don't mind. Even sometimes when I know what the game you're playing, I just smile because I'm going to bridle my tongue. And I just smile and say, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And then I see you smiling to you. Then you think you've got the pastor because your story has sunk in into him. You don't understand. I know. But be very careful. It can cut off blessings away from your life. I pray God will have mercy on you. Amen. Give me a good amen. Amen. Hey, let's look at this. Let's 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. And his lips that they speak no guile. If you're going to have the miracle, the breakthrough, the breaking forth, then he says, you keep your tongue from evil, and then your lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and eschew it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them that, what? Do evil. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 26. James chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. You see that? If you want miracles, you want the better things to happen. This is a year of holiness. This is a year of humility. This is a year of honesty. If you're lying, that's not honest. What will you tell a lie for? A child is crying. And then you say, to stop that child crying, then you tell a lie to the child. Stop crying. I'm going out now. I'm going to buy this. And it's a lie. You hinder your miracle. your wife is complaining. I say, you never think about this in New Year. You never do this. You never, I'm going to surprise you this year. Just to keep her quiet, I'm going to surprise you this year. I'll do this, I'll do this. And you know it's a lie. You hinder your miracle. Your wife is saying that, you know, it's only your people you remember. Only this and only this and my people. My honey, you know what I'm going to do this year? You'll be surprised. Just wait for me. And you know it's all a lie. All a lie. You're going to hinder your miracle. What will you tell lies for? You know, sometimes it's between you and the workers you have employed. And they're saying, no increment. And when you see this salary we're going to stay with, just work, just work. As we gain this percentage, this year, what you are going to have, you'll not be able to contain. And you know it's all a lie. But this year, there's no lying. Whatever the reason, whatever it is, what you told lies in the past, you know, and you are conscious now that all liars shall have their part, lake that burns with fire and brimstone, and you hinder your blessing, your miracle, by telling lies, and therefore your life is just going to be plain, very honest, very open, obedient to the word of God, loving, incorruptible, new, excellent, separated from the world and sanctified. It's going to be a year of holiness. That's why it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. All the prayer will be vain, will be nothing, if there's lying in our lives. Look at chapter 3 of James. James chapter 3 verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, many talkers, many teachers, many advisers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to bridle, control the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the sheaves, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small hem, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among her members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. It's the tongue that sets life on fire, sets families on fire, sets the church on fire, and brings conflict, disagreement, confusion, commotion between the leader and the followers. It's the tongue, a world of iniquity, setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. Every kind, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It takes the grace of God. That grace will have this year in Jesus' name. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Can you think about that? Somebody is cursing people, abusing people, insulting people, degrading people, belittling people, stamping people down, criticizing people. After all that negative talk, then they come, hallelujah, praise the Lord, we're standing on the promises of God, we're going to win this year. But where are you going to win? With all that kind of garbage coming out of your mouth, you curse men, you insult men, you belittle men, you criticize men, you condemn men, and then after that, now you come and say, we're holding on to the promises of God. It doesn't work that way. If we're going to have the better things this year, must bridle our tongues. We're going to do it. I said we're going to do it. And then it says over there in verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so, so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear woolly berries? Either he vine figs, so can no fountain but yield salt water and fresh. Who's a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. If with the words of your mouth you show you are devilish, with the words of your mouth you show that you are satanic, how can you then come before the Lord and say, I'm claiming my blessing, there shall be showers of blessing? Showers, they don't come that way. It's when you bridle your tongue, you control your tongue, and your life is according to the word of God. That is when the showers will come. And this year, we're getting ready for the showers. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom which is from above is first what? Pure. And then what? Peaceable. And then what? Gentle. And then easy to be entreated. You know, the people of God who are expecting miracles, they are easy people. They are soft people. They are gentle people. If you had offended them 5 years ago, 10 years, they have forgotten about that. Now you can walk with them and live with them. But you know, somebody wakes up in the morning and nothing has happened today and is showing hatred and bitterness and is aggressive against you. And you're wondering, what's happening? Because we have not met today. We're meeting for the first time today. And the fellow is aggressive and boisterous and overbearing. Oh, he's remembering what happened last year, what happened the other time. And he's still behaving like that. He's still the old creature in the new year. But it says the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable and gentle. And it says it's easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. We're going to make peace. And we're going to be peaceful people in Jesus' name. It's only those kinds of people that will be able to carry miracle in their conversation, miracle in their mouth, and miracle out of the things they say. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 17. And see how men of God carried miracle in their mouth, because they bridled their tongue. They bridled their tongue. They bridled their tongue, controlled their tongues. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That man has authority. You didn't hear him before this time. He was not a careless fellow talking here and there. He bridled his tongue. Look at this same chapter, verse 16. Verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which is spake by Elijah. That man carried authority because he bridled his tongue. He was in the house of that woman with the son, but he wasn't, you know, talking. He bridled his tongue. And because of the bridled tongue, that's why the power was always manifested. Look at verse 24. And the woman said unto Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. The child died, and Elijah just went there and spoke the word of authority, and the child rose again because he had bridled his tongue. This year, you'll bridle your tongue. And as you do, miracles will flow out of your mouth in Jesus' name. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 22. Mark 11 verse 22. And Jesus answered, saith unto them, have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, If he has not been saying some other negative things before, if he has been bridling his tongue, keeping quiet, holding his peace, then you just come, and the first word coming out of you is the word of power, the word of promise, and the word of authority. It says, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have. I said he shall have. He shall have whatsoever he says. Bridle your tongue, and then you'll keep the authority. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have the point number three, the guarded promises of blessed treasures, blessed treasures. Jeremiah chapter 1, we're looking at verse 12, Jeremiah chapter 1, reading from verse 12. Then says the Lord unto me, thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. I will hasten my word to perform it. Another version says, I will watch over my word. I'll protect my word. I'll guard my word. I'll watch over my word to perform it. The word of the Lord will be performed hastily, very quickly, soon in your life this year in Jesus' name. The guarded promises of blessed treasures. I will hasten my word, I'll perform it. Isaiah chapter 55, I'm reading there from verse 8. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. So shall his word be in your life. That goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The word of the enemy will not take effect in your life. The word of those who want to crush you and destroy you will not take effect in your life. But the word of promise, the word of power, the word of prosperity, the word of provision, and the word that the Lord is sending to your life to bring blessing to your life, that's the word that will take root in your life this year in Jesus' name. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, Matthew 24, verse 35, every promise he has given us, every prophecy he has given to us, verse 35, Matthew 24, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The words of Christ will be fulfilled in your life, in your family, in your business, in your spiritual life. And this holiness the Lord has granted to us abundantly this year will be evident in your life in Jesus' name. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Ezekiel chapter 12, Ezekiel chapter 12. I'm reading to you from verse 25 and verse 28. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 25. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. The Lord said, I will speak, and he's speaking to us. And he has spoken already. He has given us promises, forgiveness for the sinner. He has given us promises, healing for the sick. He has given us promises, sanctification for the believer, holiness for the believer, holiness of heart, holiness in our soul, holiness in our spirit, holiness in our relationship, holiness in our lifestyle. He has given us the promise that he will do it. He's going to do it in Jesus' name. He has given us the promise of deliverance. He has given us the promise of the power of the Holy Ghost. The promise is unto you and to your children, and to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then he says over here, I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. And then he says, it shall be no more prolonged, there'll be no delay. For in your days, O rebellious house, when I say the word and will perform it, says the Lord God. Look at verse 28. Therefore, say unto them, thus says the Lord God, there shall none of my words be delayed, be prolonged anymore. But the word which I have spoken shall be done, says the Lord God. It will happen in Jesus' name. Every word he has given us, all the promises he has given us, what he said he will do, that he will cleanse us and he wash us from all our defilement and from all our impurities, that he'll take everything away, that word will not be delayed, it will be done. That he will take away the stony heart out of our flesh and give us the heart of flesh and make us holy through and through, within and without and round and everywhere, in the church and at home and the place of work, everywhere we go, that word he has spoken, he'll fulfill it. It will not be prolonged in Jesus' name. That he said the promise of the baptism in the Holy Ghost, he shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then we'll become dynamites in the hands of the Lord, battle acts of the Lord. He has given us that word, and that word is going to be fulfilled in Jesus' name. In Luke chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 17. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. He'll deliver us from our enemies. He has given us that word of promise, and it's going to be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Then it says, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he will grant unto us, that we've been delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without, tell me out loud, without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. That's the promise of the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord, righteousness before the Lord. And it says all the days of our lives. Holiness in the morning, holiness in the afternoon, holiness in the evening, holiness at home, holiness at work, holiness in the church or the brethren, holiness in the world when the unbelievers are there, holiness every time and holiness everywhere. That's the promise he has given us. And he has said that that promise will not come to naught in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give the knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. The Lord has promised us the forgiveness of sin, the cleansing away of sin, the taking away of sin. And then he has given us also the promise that we'll give that salvation, and that salvation will come to our children, will come to everybody around us. And it says, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us to give the light, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He'll do it in Jesus' name. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Is that possible? I said, is that possible? Even an appearance of evil will not be attached to our life this year in Jesus' name. And the very God of peace sanctify you how? Holy, entirely, completely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He'll do it for us this year in Jesus' name. Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23. I'm reading from verse 19. Numbers chapter 23. And we're reading from verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. As he said, and shall he not do it? As he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Every promise he has given us, he'll make it good this year in our lives in Jesus' name. Behold, I've received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. No Balaam will reverse the blessing of God in your life. Amen. The better things the Lord has promised us, those better things are coming. And they'll be upon every life in Jesus' name. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord is God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt, he has brought us out. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, no curse against your life. No enchantment against your life. And there's no talisman or juju anybody can do against your life in Jesus' name. Surely, without any shadow of doubt, there's no enchantment against Jacob. Neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what God has wrought, to be a year of testimony, a year of rejoicing, a year of holiness, a year of happiness, a year of prosperity, a year of a purity, and a year when all our desires are met in Jesus' name. He has done it already. I said he has done it already. Better things have come. Bridled tongue will make you see them. And then the blessed treasure will come upon your life. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. It's a year of praying, a year of praying, a year of praying. And we're going to pray that the better things the Lord has promised, that this year will be ours, this year will be yours, and you're going to see blessing just flowing and flowing and flowing into your life. Open your mouth and begin to talk to the Lord. Gracious provision of better things. Gracious provision of better things. Gracious provision of better, better, better things. To be born again, that's better than being sinful. Born again, that's better than being carnal. Born again, that's better than backsliding. Born again, that's the better thing. Sanctified. Sanctified, made holy. Better, better things. What a wonderful thing when the Lord takes away the stony heart out of your flesh and he gives you the heart of flesh. Soft, gentle, pliable, teachable, humble. That's the better thing. Tell the Lord, give me that kind of heart. That kind of heart. That kind of heart. Soft, gentle, pliable, teachable, humble, obedient. That's what he wants to do this year. The power of the Holy Ghost upon your life. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. You've been a believer for a long time. You have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost. This is the year of the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. You've been saved, you have not been sanctified. This is the year of sanctification. It's the year of holiness, the year of purity. Tell the Lord. Tell the Lord the promise of better things. The past years, sick, healed, sick, healed, sick, healed. Not again this year. A year of health. A year of strength. A year when you stay healthy and it makes you whole through and through. Tell the Lord, better things, better things, better things. in the past failure, then you manage to skip through and maybe pass an exam, get a job, barely living, not having enough. But you're telling the Lord this year, it's a year of great provision, a year of abundance, a year of prosperity. And the Lord says he'll open the windows of heaven, that you'll not have room enough to receive. You'll not have room enough to keep what he's going to give you. Tell the Lord, I make it a year of prosperity, a year of abundance, a year of breaking forth, a year of showers of blessing, showers of blessing, showers of blessing, showers of blessing. This is the year. All you have lost, the Lord bringing back into your life. All the lack, the Lord bringing it back to your life. All the limitations of the past, the Lord breaking all that limitation. And things you never saw, things you never received, miracles you never got, the Lord bringing those miracles in your life this year. A year of miracles, signs, and wonders. Tell the Lord. A year of prayer is a year of purity. A year of prayer is a year of power. A year of prayer is a year of passion. A year of prayer is a year of prosperity. A year of prayer is a year of great possibilities. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, I'm sure you're expecting the blessing. And everything you have prayed for, you are believing that the Lord will do it. No enemy will stand between you and your blessing this year in Jesus' name. The abundance of the Lord is coming upon your life. Your tongue will now rest. Your tongue will be at peace. And all those talk of past years, everything is under control this year. Let's pray together. Lift up your hand before the Lord. Make it a new year. Make it a new year. A new year coming for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because you have promised us better things this new year. And we pray, Lord, the better things will come. Even from this day, those better things will start coming in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that our spiritual experiences this year will be better. Our profession of being born again will be better. The presence of the Spirit of God in our lives this year will be better. And the experience of sanctification, holiness, spiritual heart and life will be better this year in Jesus' name. Our evangelism will be better. Touching lives will be better. And now, Lord, the windows of heaven you open, the showers you give unto us, the prosperity you give unto us, the health you give unto us, the deliverance you give unto us, everything this year will be better in Jesus' name. I'm asking, Lord, according to your promise, wipe away every negative sin out of every life in Jesus' name. We're asking, Lord, that you start from our soul, from our spirit, from our body. And we pray that everything that is negative, everything coming from the devil, everything coming from the enemy, everything coming from you, from a curse, and from any sin of the devil, flush everything out of our lives in Jesus' name. Give us life. Give us life in abundance. And every form of sickness, Lord, I take authority over that sickness now. Get out in Jesus' name. From the top of the head to the soles of the feet, every pain, every virus, and every cell that is not right, and every kind of incurable disease will come against it. Yeah. This year is not a year of sickness. Yeah. This year is not a year of death. Yeah. This year is not a year of an invalid. But this year is a year of being strong, of being healthy. Yeah. This year is a year when we're going to retain the health of the Lord in our bodies in Jesus' name. Therefore, Lord, touch everyone. Heal everyone. Take sickness away from the midst of your people in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, this is our barren. You said this year none of us will be barren. And I pray that whatever is received for that barrenness, take it away in Jesus' name. This is the year of great possibilities. In the area of marriage, great possibilities. Area of childbearing, great possibilities. Area of getting new jobs, great possibilities. Area of prosperity, great possibilities. Lord, I pray that great things you have been praying for years will never seen this year. Those who have never seen a miracle, you will see miracle. Begin even from this very moment in Jesus' name. We're asking, Lord, that the joy of the Lord be our strength. You put laughter in every mouth, laughter in every family, laughter in every local church, laughter in the whole church in Jesus' name. Lord, everything we have started, we're going to finish. Every project we have started, we're going to finish. As families, the project any family has begun and it appears, when are they going to finish? What are they going to finish this year? It will finish in Jesus' name. As individuals, we have laid the foundation, we're going to complete it. Every good thing your people have started this year, they will accomplish and finish it in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray as your people go back home, enemies will clear out of the way. Demons will clear out of the way. And all those negative things of the past, they are gone in Jesus' name. This year, for my brothers and sisters, for my children, everyone, better things. Everyone, bridal tongue. Everyone, blessed treasure. Everyone, great promises. Everyone, glorious provision. Everyone, Lord, a breakthrough. Everyone, a breaking fall. And Lord, this year, put a smile upon every face. And dry those tears away. The prayer from today will be sharing testimonies together. Impossibilities have become possible. Jericho walls are falling down. Mountains have moved away. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You go from strength to strength. You go from glory to glory. You go from grace to grace. Every time we meet, there will be something to share. Confirm it in every life, Lord. Thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, once again.